This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
After months of difficult debate, we've just learnt that Australia has said yes to same-sex marriage. Around 62% of Aussies who replied to the marriage law survey have ticked the yes box. Debate will now begin in Canberra over the nuts and bolts of the law, and LGBTI people will most likely be allowed to marry by Christmas. It's a big change and obviously one that our nation is going to need to accept. So with me now to bring a Christian perspective is Simon Smart. He's from the Centre for Public Christianity. Simon, thanks for joining me.
Good to talk to you, Claire.
Simon, 61.6% of people voted yes to this survey in Australia, but in New South Wales and particularly Western Sydney, the majority said no. So it's fair to say many will feel disappointed. What do you hope their reaction will be today as they talk about that result at work, at home, and in social media?
Well, you'd hope, and I'd expect people will respond to this with calm and grace and knowing that the sky won't fall in because of this result. And I think it is important for people to accept the democratic decision of the people, which in this case, as you said, is a fairly strong vote in favour of same-sex marriage. And it's important to recognise in a democratic system you sometimes accept the will of the people that might be different from yourself. So, yeah, you'd hope in a good spirit would be how I would expect it to go ahead now.
A famous Bible verse comes to mind, and that's the one from Ecclesiastes about there is a time for everything. In the spirit of that scripture, do you think that we could also say there's a time to fight and resist change and a time to accept change?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, for people who are Christian, they do, I think, have to recognise that the world has changed, and countries like Australia, even though they have a very strong Christian heritage, are much more secular today. So there's only 52% of people on the census who say that they associate with a Christian denomination. And as you would know, there's a lot less than that who are actually engaged in any sort of Christian community. So more and more, I think Australians have kind of grown up with sort of very little knowledge or contact with the Christian story. So that's the reality, and it presents a challenge to people of faith. People who, to be able to connect with communities, to be able to communicate their beliefs in a way that makes sense and is still attractive. And to do that, you have to recognise where people are at. And in our country, that's, you know, it's a long way from understanding Christian faith.
The Parliament will go to voting and debating on a bill which changes the words a man and a woman to two people. And it also says that religious ministers won't have to marry a couple if it goes against the beliefs of their religion. So there will be more debate around this topic. But keeping in mind that the debate has already affected the mental health of many people, particularly gay people, what would you say to those who continue to be involved in the ongoing public debate?
Well, I guess there's a real need for, in what really are contested times, aren't they? I mean, there's an incredible polarising of opinion in lots of areas. Not only it's same-sex marriage, for sure, but also asylum seekers. I think euthanasia is looming as a very important public debate, environmental care, that sort of stuff. There's a challenge for Christian people to engage in these discussions. And we have to engage with them. We've got to be part of this. But to do so in a manner that's congruent with or is in harmony with the one that we say that we follow. So, of course, Jesus himself was very good at being able to have convictions about important things, and he really did have convictions. But at the same time, being able to engage with people with grace and compassion and love, and somehow Christians need to be able to embody that. I think Christians at their best are able to be part of the community, serving the community, and pointing people to Jesus.
Some people of faith are quite doomsday about this change that I've sort of been hearing in my conversations and watching what people are writing and commenting about on social media. A lot of people really fearing the changes that might happen further down the track politically in our nation. And I've heard some people even talking about leaving Australia altogether. What would you say to those who are feeling this way? And I guess particularly people of faith.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't be recommending leaving yet. It's not Syria. Christians experience some difficulties being Christian in Australia now, but it's a long way from the sort of terrible persecution that you see in other parts of the world, so it's worth recognising that. At Centre for Public Christianity, we often talk about as a kind of almost theme tune, if you like, 1 Peter 3:15 and 16 is a verse that kind of applies to these times, and you might remember that verse says, in your hearts revere Christ as Lord, so setting apart Christ as Lord, and always calls on the people to always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks for the reason for the hope that they have. But, and this is an important part of this, do this with gentleness and respect. And I think that's a very important reminder. Gentleness and respect, but it's always been part of what's going on. And the context is important. So Peter writes to the churches in Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey, and they're experiencing persecution. It's probably not yet the massive persecution that they get later on, but there is persecution. But there's a sense, I guess, in that verse of great confidence in what they believe and sort of telling them they can rest in that. And because of it, they can then speak with gentleness and respect. And I think that that's kind of relevant to what we're looking at these days. I often also think of the prophet Jeremiah when he addresses God's people, the Jews, as they're taken from Jerusalem into exile to live in what's a very pagan setting in the city of Babylon. And he asks, what does he ask them to do? He doesn't say close ranks and, you know, remain aloof from the culture, be detached from it and just judge them. He says, no, no, you've got to be thoroughly engaged. He says and tells them to build houses and settle down and plant gardens and eat what they produce. And very importantly, he says, seek the peace and the welfare, the prosperity, if you like, of the city. And so he calls the people to use their talents and resources to promote the common good of the city. And that seems a really exciting thing for me, a worthwhile thing, a worthy thing, serving the city, being part of the community, serving the people. And ultimately pointing them to Jesus, remembering that the Jesus story is so very foreign to people today.
So it's about moving forward instead of retreating in fear.
Well, I think so. And we, as a nation, and not just in terms of Christians and non-Christians, but we have to get better at this, don't we? We have a tendency in our country these days to demonise opponents and caricature their arguments, and sneering dismissal seems to be this a tone of what we, how we engage. And I think we can do better than that. I think social media doesn't help. It seems a bit bleak to me, Claire, sometimes. But being in kind of real relationships with people who think differently from us, reading things you don't necessarily agree with seems important to me. And trying to see the best parts of an opponent's argument, not the worst parts, and then being able to articulate that as well as articulate your own views is kind of a way I think we need to start moving forward, because we're not doing very well, in my estimations, in terms of understanding and relating with differences these days.
Well, with a view to living peacefully with one another's differences, what are the benefits of not just accepting people who have different views, you know, and not just tolerating, which is a word that I'm not a fan of, tolerating. But what are the benefits of not only accepting, but also building bridges and actively forming friendship with those who hold different lifestyles and views?
The benefits are enormous and sort of innumerable, and, you know, great communities. And the best, the Christian church at its best does this really well, I think, where you kind of draw in people of very different socioeconomic positions and education and interests, and you kind of call them to rally around a central thing, really, which is the worship of God and the love of each other. And, you know, it's not always great like that, but at its best it does something really beautiful in that way. And, you know, the benefits are learning also from other people, understanding other people's stories, having empathy for people who may not be like you. And I think everyone stands to grow as a person when they take that approach. Sometimes it's a bit scary. I think people are mostly afraid of difference. And, you know, we're all a bit like that. But when we get past that fear, very often we find there's great benefits to be gained from a real interaction, real relationship with people who you might have thought initially were very, very different from you.
Well, they're great words, Simon. Thank you very much for your time.
Great to chat, Claire.
That's Simon Smart from the Centre for Public Christianity.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.